The beams of searchlights sweep across gold, three-dimensional letters and numerals standing on a plinth, with a city at twilight stretching beyond. The gold letters gleam against a blue-black sky. 20th Century Fox, a news corporation company. A shaft of sunlight moves across a black screen until it's revealed as a revolving disc on an axis. The disc is aligned to form a magnetic compass. 1492 pictures. The navigational map disappears in a mist of sweeping waves. The following credits appear against a backdrop of images of Manhattan, bathed in a golden light. 20th Century Fox presents, in association with Ingenious Film Partners, a 1492 pictures, 21 laps production, a Sean Levy film. Ben Stiller, Night at the Museum. A classical white-pillared building. Light pours from its dramatic arched entrance. The Museum of Natural History. A fresco, a tableau of Civil War soldiers, a moose with huge antlers. 20-foot statues of Anubis guard a sarcophagus. Carla Gugino, Dick Van Dyke, Mickey Rooney, Bill Cobbs. A gold death mask of a pharaoh. Figures of Theodore Roosevelt on horseback. A Neanderthal man in a cave. Jake Cherry, Ricky Gervais, and Robin Williams. A wax figure of a Native American female, Sacagawea. A stagecoach drawn by black horses. Kim Raver, Patrick Gallagher, Rami Malek, Pier Francesco Favino, Charlie Murphy. The frightening figure of Attila the Hun. Casting by Eileen Starger, CSA. Music by Alan Silvestri, costume designer René April, a Maui Easter Island head, visual effects supervisor Jim Rigel, associate producer Ellen M. Summers. Lions in a room of African mammals, a little monkey gripping the branch of a tree, a pair of zebras. Co-producer Josh McLachlan, film editor Don Zimmerman, ACE, production designer Claude Paré, director of photography Guillermo Navarro, ASC. Executive producers Thomas M. Hamill, Ira Schumann, Mark Ratcliffe. Miniature dioramas of ancient Rome and the Colosseum and of the Old West. Based upon the book by Milan Trenck. Screen story and screenplay by Robert Ben Garant and Thomas Lennon. The Skeleton of a T-Rex. Produced by Sean Levy, Chris Columbus, Michael Barnathan. Directed by Sean Levy. Day, Manhattan. Larry Daly hurries across the street, narrowly avoiding being hit by a cab. He approaches a meter over which a paper bag has been placed. Scrawled on the bag are the words, "Meter broken," and beneath it in different pen, "Nice try." Larry collects his parking ticket, then sees that his car's been clamped.
Ah, come on.
He jumps on the clamp. Then kicks it. Larry spots a teacher outside a school.
Hey, Link.
Hey, Larry.
How you doing?
Have you seen Nikki?
I'm pretty sure he went home with Erica. It was half day today. Parent career day?
He gestures to a banner over the entrance. Larry's ex-wife, Erica, opens her front door to him.
Hey.
Hey, come on in.
He steps in.
You all right?
Yeah. Why didn't anybody tell me it was career day?
Well, what do you mean? Nikki said he was going to tell you.
Larry nods.
Oh, okay. I guess he forgot.
Uh-oh. There he is.
Hey.
How are you, Larry?
Good. How you doing, Don?
Don sips coffee.
Ben.
He wipes his mouth.
Can you believe this weather?
Ugh.
Chilly, right? Mm. Chilly. Willie the penguin.
Don's cell phone.
Ben, leave me alone. Hey, why don't I go tell the little corncob you're here?
Great. That's great. Yeah, thanks.
Don's phone and other gadgets are on his belt.
Wow, your fiancé really manages to squeeze a lot onto that belt.
Stop it.
What? No, it's like he's the Batman of stockbrokers.
Bond trader,
sorry.
Hey, how's it going with that virtual reality driving range that you wanted to open?
Getting there. Still waiting for the technology to catch up with the idea. I mean, it's not easy. There are a lot of moving parts.
Uh-huh.
Hey, do you think Nick would like Queens?
Oh, no, Larry. You didn't get evicted again, did you?
I didn't... get evicted. I didn't get evicted, no. I mean, I didn't... No, I didn't get evicted yet. It's like a...
All right, listen to me. I don't know how much more of this Nikki can take. I mean, every couple months, it's a new career, a new apartment. If it wasn't for Nikki, I wouldn't say anything. I would stay out of it. It's just, it's too much instability. It's not good for him.
I'm trying to figure things out right now, okay?
Erica turns her back and steps away, then turns to face him.
You know, I don't think that Nikki should stay with you.
What?
Well, just until you get really settled.
Hey, Dad.
Hey! Ready to carve it up?
Cool.
Larry watches Nick play ice hockey on a skating rink in Central Park.
All right, good! Take it, Nicky! Break away! Yeah. Yeah.
Nick falls over. Larry goes to him.
What are you doing?
Hey, Nicky! Get off the ice! You okay?
I'm fine. Did you get off the ice?
Listen up. The left defenseman is a very weak skater, so you go to the left side, you got a clear shot at the goal. Okay?
Cool, thanks.
All right, man. We're good here. We're good. All right, as you were, skaters.
Game on. Ow!
He's floored by a puck.
I'm good.
I'm telling you, man, you tore it up out there today. Thinking the NHL is a serious possibility.
Yeah, I don't really want to be a hockey player anymore.
They're walking through the park.
All right. What do you want to be?
A bond trader.
A bond trader?
Yeah, it's what Don does. He took me to his office last week.
Uh-huh. That's cool. So what, you want to dress up in a monkey suit and tie every day? Like an automaton robot? Trust me, you can't play hockey in a cubicle. Kind of awkward.
Well, he's got a pretty big office.
That's not the point. Come on, you love hockey.
I still like it, but bond trading's my fallback.
Your fallback? Wait a minute. You're too young to have a fallback, okay, Nikki? And also, where did you ever even hear that word?
Mom was talking to Don about all your different schemes.
She called them schemes?
She said it was time you found a fallback.
He looks up at his dad, who keeps walking.
Are you really moving again?
Larry stops and turns to him.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, there's some pretty cool places out in Queens.
Yeah.
Hey, Nikki, look at me. Look at me, man. I want to tell you something. I know that things have been kind of up and down for me lately, and that's been hard for you. But I really feel like my moment's coming, and when it does, everything's just going to come together, you know?
What if you're wrong, and you're just an ordinary guy who should get a job?
Larry's unable to respond as Nick gazes up at him in earnest.
All right, well... You know what? We'll figure it out, okay? All right? Come on, let's get you back to Mom's. Come on.
He puts an arm around Nick's shoulders, and they walk on over a footbridge. Larry's in an employment agency.
Mr. Daly, I can honestly say in 43 years at this agency, I've never seen a resume quite like yours.
All right.
He grins cheerily.
That wasn't a compliment. It says here you were the CEO of Snap Time Industries. Care to elaborate on that?
Sure. Well, that was the umbrella corporation for my invention, the snapper. You know, you snap, lights come on, snap, they come off.
Didn't they already make that?
No, that's the clapper, which obviously stole a bit of our thunder. Personally, I don't really see what the big difference is. I mean, you know, whatever. But apparently there is a significant portion of the population that has trouble actually snapping.
Clapping's easier.
Debatable.
I can't help you.
Debbie? Can I call you Debbie? Because I felt a connection when I entered this office, and I don't know, I feel like you did too.
I didn't feel a connection.
Larry nods.
Look, I need a job tomorrow, okay? If I don't have one, I just need it, okay?
Well, I don't know. I might have one thing. They've turned down everyone I've sent over there, but...
Great.
Who knows?
She scribbles something and hands it to him.
You might get lucky.
Hands deep in the pockets of his jacket, Larry steps across the street with the spindly branches of bare winter trees rising to a chill sky behind him. He pauses to stare at the Theodore Roosevelt on Horseback Monument outside the Museum of Natural History, then heads towards the museum's triumphal Roman entrance. Inside, he passes through a revolving door into an atrium entrance hall where the skeleton of a Tyrannosaurus Rex stands on a platform. He approaches a woman at an information desk.
Excuse me. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Larry Daly. I've got a job interview with Cecil Fredericks.
Right, he should still be in his office.
Great.
I'm Rebecca Hutman. I'm a docent here.
Hi.
Let me point you in the right direction.
Great.
He spots Roosevelt on horseback.
Ah, Teddy Roosevelt, right?
Yes, great visionary.
Yes, definitely. He was our fourth president, right?
26th.
26th.
Dip! Please don't touch the exhibits!
I mean, riffraff. Miss Hutman, I cannot tolerate this type of chaos. I mean, this is a museum, not a... Do you know what museum means? It doesn't mean, ooh, Daddy, it's a big Tyrannosaurus thing. Can I touch his leg? No! Work it out, please.
Will do, sir.
Thank you.
Dr. McPhee, the museum director.
Seems like a fun guy.
Control your young, please. Can we?
Larry glances at a sheet of paper as he wanders through the museum's basement. He rings a bell by the Dutch door to a security office.
Hello?
Oh, just kidding. Hi, I'm Larry Daly. Are you Mr. Fredericks?
No, Mr. Fredericks is my father. I'm Cecil. Good to meet you, Larry. Nice firm handshake. I like that. Tells a lot about a man. Come on in.
He steps into a small, cluttered office.
Let's talk turkey here.
Cecil sits behind a desk.
The museum is losing money, hand over fist. I guess kids today don't care about wax figures or stuffed animals. So they're downsizing, which is code for firing. Myself and the other two night guards. They want to replace us with one new guy.
Oh, sorry.
Well, what are you going to do? I'd like you to meet my two colleagues here. Reginald, Gus!
Where is he? I'll beat him with my fist! What?
Oh. Gus, this is Larry Daly, the kid who wants to be the new night guard.
Oh, night guard? No, the lady at the agency said this was a museum position.
Most important position in the museum, Larry.
He looks like a weirdie.
It's wonderful guard, terrible people skills.
Now listen, Lunchbox, don't try anything funny. I once went 9 rounds with John L. Sullivan.
You never fought John L. Sullivan in your life.
Gentlemen, we have a job candidate here. He's got an excellent resume, a winning attitude, and I say let's give him a shot. What do you say?
Hang on a sec. I think I might want to have a little time just to think it over.
Do you want the job or not, Snack Shack?
Gus eyes him challengingly.
No, I want the job.
Welcome to the night guards, Larry.
They shake hands.
Larry, meet me up on the second floor. I'll slip into my orthopedics and give you a little tour. Arthritic knees. Not fun getting old, my friend. Go on.
The three elderly men solemnly watch Larry go.
You really think he's the one?
Cecil tilts his head.
Oh, yes. He's the one.
A miniature diorama of a Mayan village and of Kukulkan's pyramid in Mexico with tiny figures from a pre-Columbian exhibit.
Gotta keep it moving, Larry. I'm pretty spry for an old man. This is the diorama room.
Oh, yeah. I remember these little guys.
The Romans.
Cute.
Larry steps into a corridor.
Cecil!
The lights go out.
Hey, Cecil!
Larry walks past a display of Swahili figures and feathered headdresses and terrifying masks. One figure steps out of the display and creeps up behind him. Cecil removes his mask.
Did I get you good?
Yeah, you got me.
Cecil beats his ceremonial stick on the floor and removes his robe.
Seriously, though, no fooling around in here. This stuff's really old. All right, then. As you can see, it's pretty quiet in here these days. On the left there is your Attila the Hun.
A life-size figure.
And here we have our Easter Island head.
Cecil leads Larry into a large room filled with life-size exhibits.
And this, of course, is the Hall of African Mammals.
Ah, yes. Oh, monkeys. I love monkeys.
Cecil looks uneasy.
Yeah, guy's cute.
Yeah, we call him Dexter. He's quite a little ball of fun, aren't you, Dexter?
Larry's puzzled by the remark.
Moving on.
Larry glances at little Dexter, then follows.
And finally, this is the Temple of the Pharaoh, Akhmenra.
Wow.
And in that tomb right down there, the Pharaoh himself.
Neat.
And hanging on the wall behind him was his most prized possession, the tablet of Akhmenra. 24 karat gold is worth a fortune.
Huh. Very cool.
It is indeed, Larry. Very cool.
Larry turns quizzically to look at Cecil, who's gazing at the gold tablet.
All right. Report here 5 tomorrow. We'll walk you through your duties.
Okay, 5. I'll be here.
Moving on.
Hey, it's me. So, I got a job.
Oh, Larry, that's great. What is it?
It's a job at the Museum of Natural History.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, you can tell Nikki that we won't be moving.
Larry, this is good news.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
The following evening, Larry arrives at the museum to find Cecil, Gus, and Reginald waiting for him in the atrium.
Larry, your keys, your torch.
Right.
You're going to want to strap those to your belt. Now, it can get a little spooky around here at night, so you might want to put a few lights on. All right, flashlight, keys, what am I... Oh!
He pulls out some tattered typewritten pages.
The instruction manual.
Instructions. You start with 1, 2... 3, 4. Are you cracking wise? I ought to punch you in the nose, Hopscotch.
Leave him alone, Gus. You got it covered, right, Larry?
Yeah, I got it.
You better get it.
Gus, Larry, do them in order, do them all, and do them quick. And the most important thing of all to remember, don't let anything in or out.
Out?
Good luck, son.
Night, Gus.
Young buck, cracking wise.
Moving on.
Larry watches the 3 old-timers shuffle out and leave through the revolving door. Larry gazes around, then turns on the lights in the vast atrium, which is dominated by the huge skeleton of the T-Rex on its platform. Larry taps his fingers on the reception desk and looks around. He picks up a phone, then presses a button to turn on the public address system.
Hello? Hello?
Jack.
Jack. I am Larry.
Jack, Larry! Monday! Monster truck rally!
Larry's draped over a seat at the reception desk with a phone resting on his chest. He makes to turn over. Larry springs to his feet with a dazed expression and fumbles as he props the phone back on the desk. Wearing a grey uniform with security badges on each arm, Larry yawns as he strolls across the polished floor, passing the empty dinosaur platform as he goes. He holds up a bunch of keys as he saunters towards a door. Suddenly he stops in his tracks and remains standing for several moments before turning around and retracing his steps. He stops to stare at the T-Rex platform from which the dinosaur has vanished. Larry's eyes widen and dart around.
Cecil!
He steps forward nervously.
Okay, very funny, Cecil.
What is this, like a David Copperfield thing?
He approaches the large wooden platform and waves his hand over it to check that the skeleton has really gone.
This is weird.
Unnerved, he looks about. Larry frowns and stares ahead.
Cecil?
He steps tentatively towards a gloomy, shadowed corridor and peers round a corner. Then slowly takes his torch from his belt and switches it on. He points it ahead and gulps in horror at the skeleton of the T-Rex drinking from the water fountain. Larry squeezes his eyes tightly shut, then opens them and drops his torch. The T-Rex turns towards him. Larry bolts down the corridor with the T-Rex thundering after him. Larry races into the atrium and runs to the revolving door. It's locked.
Revolve! Revolve!
Eyes wide with panic, Larry turns, bounds over the dinosaur platform, leaps over the desk and ducks down. The T-Rex enters the hall and looks around. Larry grabs the phone as the T-Rex begins to crush the desk.
Ah! Name, please.
Cecil, Fredericks!
One offense. Connecting.
Hello?
Cecil, Larry Gilling!
Larry! Yes, how can I help you?
The dinosaur! Ah! The dinosaur is alive!
I'm having a little trouble hearing you, friend. Sharkiva!
The dinosaur is alive! What do I do? Just tell me what to do!
Read the instructions. It explains everything.
Larry finds them.
Okay, I got him!
Cecil eyes a blonde.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Wait, what?
Cecil returns to his retirement bench as the T-Rex tosses the desk aside. Larry reads the instructions.
Number one, throw the bone. What bone?
A huge bone is cast to the floor in front of Larry. He stares at it, then looks up to see the T-Rex hovering above him. The creature moves closer, so that its terrifying fanged skull is only inches from Larry. Larry reaches forward slowly and picks up the bone. He raises it up and hurls it into the distance. The T-Rex bounds after it. Larry tries to flee, but the dinosaur swings back round in front of him with the bone in its teeth, which it drops to the floor. The T-Rex nudges the bone towards Larry with its snout. The T-Rex pounds forwards, then wags its tail and lowers its head towards the floor, as though waiting for Larry to do something. Larry looks at it, then at the bone, then at the T-Rex again.
Fetch.
The T-Rex responds like a playful dog.
Play fetch.
The T-Rex wags its tail excitedly. Larry picks up the bone and tosses it across the atrium. The T-Rex leaps after it, whacking Larry with its tail onto the staircase. Larry judders down the steps to the bottom. Larry looks up to see a live mammoth, a rhino, and birds of prey on the first floor.
No way.
A group of Neanderthals climb out of their exhibit and rush up to Larry brandishing small stones and sticks. Larry runs away from them. The Easter Island head addresses him.
Hey! Dum Dum.
Yes?
You give me Gum Gum.
I give you Gum Gum?
You do Dum Dum, you give me Gum Gum.
Gee, okay. You know what? I have no Gum Gum, sorry. And my name isn't Dum Dum. My name's Larry.
No, your name, Dum Dum. Oh, you in trouble, Dum Dum. You better run from Attila the Hun Hun.
Attila charges towards Larry with his horns.
See you later, Dum Dum.
Larry races down a corridor peopled with characters from history, makes it to a lift, and frantically presses on the call button. The lift doors open, and Larry leaps inside. The doors close as Attila and his hands reach them. A ferocious Attila forces the doors open. The doors close around his neck. The lift rises, and Attila's head thwacks against the roof. Attila pulls his head back, and the doors close. Larry weakly pulls himself to his feet in the safe confines of the lift.
What is happening?
Larry looks up to see the elevator pass the first floor. He studies the printed instructions. The lift reaches the ground floor and the doors slide open. Cautious Larry creeps out, then rushes into the American History Hall. He closes the doors behind him on some Eskimos. An eagle soars across the hall, while a moose ambles through it. Two civilized-looking men with long pigtailed hair and frontier dress in a wilderness setting study a map. A pretty Native American woman looks curiously at Larry.
Hey.
He steps up to her.
How you doing?
Larry reads the explanatory guide by her display.
Are you... You're Sacagawea? You're Sacagawea? Oh, Sacagawea! You're Sacagawea?
The glass. I can't...
She points to her ear.
You can't hear me? Excuse me. Who assisted the Lewis and Clark? Right, so that's Lewis and Clark, and you're... Right. You seem... I'm Larry. What's going on? Do you know what's going on here?
She looks puzzled.
Huns, I gotta...
He falls onto a Civil War display. A Confederate soldier gestures him to be quiet, then slides a bayonet across his chest and fires at a Union soldier. Larry's trapped beneath the clash of bayonets. He rolls off the display and crawls across the floor, taking cover beside another display. A Union soldier rolls off it and drops beside him. All around him, battle rages. Larry snatches up his instructions and leaps out of the hall. In the corridor, he encounters Vikings, Mayflower pilgrims, and a couple of Eskimos. Larry reads instruction number 2.
Lock up the lions or they'll eat you.
To Christopher Columbus.
Hey! Hi! Tin Man! Hey! Hi, how you doing? I'm new here, and it says I'm supposed to lock up the lions or they'll eat me?
My guys are carrying Leon down another part.
Galileo?
Turista.
Larry races to the Hall of African Mammals and stops in the doorway. Larry gawps at the array of wild animals that have come to life. The mammoth appears behind him and hurls him into the room. Larry rises, then hurriedly closes and locks the gates on the angry mammoth. When he turns around, other animals are approaching him. A pride of lions on a central exhibit look ready to pounce.
Hey, I'm the new guy, and I'm just locking up, so...
An ostrich tries to peck him.
If it's cool with you, I'm just going to get my paperwork and be out of your hair, okay?
Larry spots an exit across the room, then eyes the instructions lying on the floor in front of him. Larry snatches up the instructions, then gallops into some artificial jungle foliage. He stumbles and finds himself staring into the eyes of a snake. Larry races on. He stops to peer at the lions who are watching him from their central perch, when suddenly Dexter, the little monkey, runs across his shoulders. Larry leaps out of the jungle and dashes for the exit, pursued by an elephant, zebras, the ostrich and the lions. He closes the gates just as a lion lunges. He gulps at his empty keyring as he goes to lock the gates. The animals lose interest and drift away. Still holding the gates closed with one hand, Larry reaches back to his instructions on the floor with the other, then drags them closer with his foot. He reads instruction number 3.
Double-check your belt. The monkey probably stole your keys.
Larry looks up to see little Dexter leaning through the bars of the gates, dangling the keys.
Hey! Hey there! Hi! What's your name? Your name's... No. Come back. Come back. Dewey? Is that your name, Dewey? No. What's... Dewey? Dexter! 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 Right? Hey, Dexter. You want to give me those keys? I just want to lock up. Yes. Oh, good. Come to Bob. Oh, thank you. Can I have those keys? Oh, good. What a good boy. That's okay. Oh, thank you. Oh, no. It's okay. Thank you very, very much.
Dexter bites down on Larry's nose. Dexter hangs on for several moments until Larry manages to extricate himself and falls back onto the floor. Holding his nose in agony, Larry picks himself up. As he's locking the gates, Dexter urinates on him from a jungle branch.
Ew! Oh! Yuck! Bad monkey, stop that! Ew, that's not right! Are you done? Huh?
He isn't.
Do you have an issue with me? Huh? Do you have an issue with me? Because if I have a problem with somebody, I don't pee on them, okay? All right? And also...
He steps closer.
Let me tell you something.
Dexter grabs the instructions.
Hey, Dexter! That's not funny! Give it back! Dexter, get...
Dexter holds them up.
Don't. I know what you're thinking. Don't do it.
Not a good idea. Mm-mm. Not...
Dexter, I need those.
Hey, don't encourage him. You think you're funny for your friends, huh? You three guys, you think you got, what, he's the ringleader and you're like a little audience? Yeah, no, don't do it, okay? Look at... You!
Dexter rips through the instructions. Two other monkeys on another branch clap. Larry goes to unlock the gates, but a lion steps forward.
Ah!
Larry yanks the keys from the lock and steps back frustratedly.
Ah, this is not happening.
Larry walks away. He slumps down on a bench in the diorama room, then leans his head back and breathes heavily. He holds up a single shred of paper from the set of instructions, then tosses it away. As he checks his watch, tiny Mayan figures blow a dart into his cheek.
Ow!
Larry winces, then plucks the tiny dart from his cheek. He looks at it curiously, then spots the Mayan Indians on the top of the bench.
Whoa. Oh!
They blow another dart into his lip.
Ah!
He plucks it out.
What are you guys doing?
He feels his lip.
Can't feel my lip.
The Mayans take aim.
Oh, that.
And blow their darts into Larry's palm as he holds it up defensively. He moves away and removes the darts from his palm, then touches his numb lip. He looks up to see lots of activity in the diorama portraying the construction of the Intercontinental Railroad through the Old West. Larry steps closer to see cowboys on horseback and a large Chinese workforce. Suddenly, Mayans bind his ankles together with ropes.
Hey, stop that!
He topples backwards onto the Old West diorama.
Ah! Yeah! Hard time, boys! Get him! Get that big old vociferous of a man!
Hey, what are you doing?
Cinch him up real good. You ain't so big now, are you, boy?
Hey! Hey, stop that!
Larry's pinned to the ground with ropes, a figure in a top hat.
Every night, year after year, one of you guards locks us up in these boxes. Well, I hereby say, sir, enough!
Fire up the iron horse, boys.
Through a tiny mountain pass, Larry can see a steam locomotive waiting down the tracks. Larry turns to the cowboy giving orders.
Hey, Blondie.
Name's Jedediah.
All right, Jedediah, stop the train, please.
It's a big no-can-do, Cracker Jack.
What's going on here, huh?
Somebody's got to pay.
Pay for what?
I don't know. Just pay. Now stop whining and just take it like a man.
The train is charging towards Larry, whose head lies across the tracks.
Seriously, stop the train.
All right, stop the train.
Thank you.
Now full speed ahead and ram him. Split his head like a watermelon.
The train bumps Larry.
You're crying out loud.
All right, that's enough.
We got a breach.
The giant is escaping.
Larry, a.k.a. Gulliver, wrestles his body easily from the ropes and sits up.
I got him, guys! I got him!
Larry flicks a worker off his shoulder, then faces legions of Romans.
Oh, my...
Prepare the catapults.
Whoa, Octavius, hold on. This ain't your fight. This here giant's on our land.
Hey, little guy. Jed. Yeah. Sorry, look, I'm not a giant, okay? I'm just like an average size...
Don't talk down to me!
I'm not a giant, guys, all right? You guys are really little.
We may be small, but our hearts are large, metaphorically speaking.
Don't take that the wrong way. I'm just saying you're miniature.
Silence! The Roman Empire knows no boundaries.
Steady, man. Oh, you do it, son.
Steady. Do what?
Octavius? Oh.
Don't do what?
Unleash hell!
Roman soldiers unleash hundreds of tiny burning arrows at Larry. Catapults fling burning balls at him. Suddenly, Teddy Roosevelt on his horse appears.
Climb aboard, boy. Take the hand, son.
He hoists Larry up behind him.
One more.
That's right, you better run, boy! You hear, Jedediah? That mustachioed horseman ain't always gonna be there to protect you, you hear me?
Larry dismounts in the atrium.
Thank you.
Not at all. Theodore Roosevelt, 26th President of these United States of America, at your service.
Okay, I'm Larry Daly, the new Night Guard.
Ha-ha!
Roosevelt dismounts.
Pleasure to meet you, Lawrence Daly! You'll have to excuse me, though. The hunt is afoot.
A rifle.
Hunt's afoot.
Larry follows.
Excuse me, Mr. President. Can I ask you something?
Yes, but just one question.
Right. Okay, why? Is it like just some, like, three wishes kind of deal?
Or... Jumbo!
Jumbo!
Swahilis.
Not at all. Self-reliance is the key to a vigorous life. A man must look inward to find his own answers. How can I be of help?
All right, well, I don't really know how to put this, and please, don't take it the wrong way, but isn't everything in this museum supposed to be, you know,
dead?
Roosevelt faces him.
Yeah.
Follow me.
You're all you want, Pharaoh. You've been in there 54 years. You're not getting out tonight. There is the source of all this commotion.
The tablet of Akhmen-Ra. Arrived here in 1952 from the Nile expedition. On that night, everything in this museum came to life. And every night since.
They're in the Egyptian hall, by the sarcophagus of Akhmen-Ra.
So everything in the museum comes to life every night?
Exactly.
And I'm supposed to do what?
You're the night watchman, Lawrence. A venerable position in this institution. Come on, lad.
All right, okay.
This is impossible. Nothing's impossible. If it could be dreamed, it could be done. Hence the 20-foot jackal staring at you right now. Don't make eye contact. Your job is to make sure that everyone stays inside the museum, because if the sun rises and anyone's on the outside,
we turn to dust.
You turn to dust?
Dust.
Really?
Really. Now, it's almost dawn. I shall help you restore order tonight, but mark my words, it's the last time I shall ever do so. Is that clear?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I guess...
Stop babbling, boy! Yes or no?
Yes.
Good! Let's ride.
Outside, a crescent moon hangs in a midnight blue sky. Inside, Roosevelt sits on his horse, watching Sacagawea in her display through binoculars. Larry approaches.
Larry, so all reptiles is secure.
Roosevelt doesn't respond, but continues to watch Sacagawea. A puzzled Larry glances at her, then at Lewis and Clark.
What are you looking at?
Roosevelt lowers the binoculars.
Tracking, dear boy. Man's got to track. Welcome to the family, Lawrence. See you tomorrow night.
Oh, actually, I gotta be honest. I don't think I'm coming back.
What? You've only just begun.
Yeah, well, this is not exactly what I...
Lawrence?
Yeah?
What did you do before you took this post?
Well, I've done a lot of different things. I invented this thing called the snapper.
Did you give up on that as well?
No, I didn't. No, I just hit a few roadblocks.
You might have heard of the clapper.
That's... Lawrence!
Yes, sir.
Some men are born great. Others have greatness thrust upon them. For you, this is that very moment.
He looks down at Larry from his horse and smiles gently, then rides his horse back onto their platform. Roosevelt pulls a sword from his scabbard and resumes the position that he holds during the day. Larry steps up closer, staring intently at his face. Roosevelt yells out to scare him.
Back! Bully! Got you, boy.
Yeah, you got me.
Larry turns away.
Say hello to your little friend!
Hey!
What are you doing?
Put me down! I don't like to be manhandled!
Just calm down, Jed.
It doesn't feel good. It makes me feel small and powerless.
You done?
I'm gonna shoot you in your dang eye. In your dadgum eye.
Ugh. Yeah, keep shooting. Nothing's gonna happen.
Now you know my shame. Jedediah's impotent rage. His guns don't fire. Take me away. This ain't over. You ain't seen the last of me.
I don't want to hear it, okay?
The T-Rex bounds over their heads.
The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
This is not worth $11.50 an hour.
Look, the giant's scared. There's a bigger giant running around.
As sunlight begins to pour through large windows into the atrium, the skeleton of the T-Rex returns to its display platform in front of the information desk. Roosevelt's horse blinks once, then freezes. The ex-president himself becomes a lifeless wax figure once again. The lions in the African Mammals Hall freeze. Attila and his Huns climb back into their life-size diorama. Cecil, Gus, and Reginald step into the museum.
Hello! Larry?
They look around.
Larry?
Larry jumps around a corner.
Bra! Oh,
Oh, don't do that. We're too old for surprises.
Really? I thought you liked surprises. Like how you surprised me with the fact that everything in the museum comes to life at night. That little sweetheart.
Larry, we wanted to tell you. You never would have believed us.
Do you have any idea what I've been through tonight?
What? I said, do you have any idea what I've been through tonight, Gus?
Keep a lid on it, butterscotch.
Look, I don't even know if what happened last night was real or not, but I did not sign up for this. Okay, I just need a regular job that is not life-threatening and pays my bills. So thank you very much, and I left my uniform in the office, and I will be seeing you.
Larry!
Larry waves as he walks on down a corridor. He's leaving the museum when Donna nicks bottom.
Dad!
Hey! Hey, buddy. What are you guys doing here?
Oh, Erica had to be in court early this morning, so I'm taking Mr. Big Stuff here to school. But he wanted to swing by, see you in the new job.
It's so awesome that you're working here.
Hey, Nico, want to take a little look at you inside? Maybe your dad will give you a VIP tour.
You know what? We're pretty slammed this morning. Yeah, but Nikki, I promise, I'll show you around soon, okay? Deal?
Deal.
All right.
Bye, Dad.
They hug.
Love you.
Love you too, buddy. Bye now. All right.
Larry thoughtfully watches his son hold Dom's hand as they cross the road and jump onto the curb at the other side. Larry turns and slowly walks back up the steps to the museum. Inside, he pushes through the revolving doors and walks into the atrium, where Cecil, Gus, and Reginald are gathered in a huddle.
Hey, Larry.
So I was thinking maybe I'll give it one more night.
I'm glad you came around. Welcome back.
You, new night guard. Here, now.
Plump, pasty-faced Dr. McPhee, in a brown tweedy suit, pastel shirt and red bow tie, beckons Larry to him.
What's up? What's up? Oh, well, take a walk with me and I'll show you, Mr. What's Up. Come on.
The diorama room.
So, would you kindly do me the favour of explaining this?
Octavius is in stocks in the Old West.
Ooh, okay. I'm guessing, and I'm just spitballing here, but looks like that Roman dude got a little cocky and climbed over into the Wild West, and that cowboy knows the Roman dude wants to take over his territory, so he rounded up a posse and put him in the stockade.
Wow! Let's all laugh at me, the comedy night guard. No, is the answer. Sarcasm, back at you, with your humour box. I wasn't laughing. Pretending to laugh, if that's what you want, some sort of battle of humour. Do you?
Larry's mystified.
No. I don't want a battle of humour.
No, you don't, because it'd be a bloodbath. Nothing funny about Little Bighorn. No. I find it about as funny as a fanciest. It's not funny, okay? And I will not stand for this type of blatant.
He shakes his head.
If I'm not clear, tell me.
Larry looks unsure.
Am I clear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Larry stares at McPhee and nods. Larry catches Cecil on his way out.
Hey, Cecil.
Cecil turns.
You got an extra copy of that instruction manual?
Oh, no, I'm afraid not, Larry. Listen, I'll tell you what you do. Read some books, brush up on your history. Helped me a lot when I first started out.
This museum was originally dedicated to that man on the horse up there, President Theodore Roosevelt. Now, he absolutely loved history and believed that the more you know about the past, the better prepared you are for the future.
Larry follows Rebecca's tour.
Okay, kids, who can tell me what this room's called? Very good, the Hall of African Mammals. Right here, we have the king of the jungle, the lion. And up ahead is one of my favorite creatures in the whole museum, the capuchin monkey, a highly intelligent primate, known for its loving and generous nature.
Rebecca and the kids look at Larry.
Excuse me?
I just thought that was. I just was laughing in agreement.
The kids are unimpressed.
Happy monkey.
All right, kids. This way.
As Rebecca leads the kids away, Larry steps onto the jungle display and points at Dexter.
Let me tell you something. I'm not buying it. You might have them fools. You might have the kids fooled. Not me. Can't get past me. There's a storm coming, buddy. There's a storm coming.
One of the most famous trackers in history, Sacagawea was the woman who led Lewis and Clark on their expedition to find the Pacific Ocean. Now, you guys have probably heard the saying, actions speak louder than words. And yet, they wrote... Yes, Mr. Daly.
Yes, was she deaf?
Was she deaf? No, she was not.
Yeah, because she does seem a little bit sort of unresponsive.
That's because she's a statue. Kids, could you give me one sec? Go check her out. She's really cool.
Rebecca approaches Larry.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm going to be here every night, and I just wanted to learn a little bit more about what I'm guarding. Actually, I've got a bunch of questions. Maybe, I don't know, when you have a break, could I buy you a cup of coffee or something?
Cup of coffee?
Yeah, I mean, just purely a, you know, colleague-to-colleague information download sort of coffee.
She checks her watch.
I finish in 20 minutes. I'll meet you outside.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And have a good rest of your...
All right. Okay, kids. It was incredible what she did. She literally led these men across rivers, up mountains, all with her newborn baby on her back. She was like the ultimate working mother.
Wow. You are quite the Sacagawean expert.
Sacagawean.
Sacagawean?
I should be. I've been writing my dissertation on her for 4 years.
4 years? You've been working on one paper for 4 years? That would drive me crazy.
Actually, it's more like a 900-page book. So, what's your story? You always wanted to be a security guard? I didn't mean to...
No. I'm divorced, and I have a 10-year-old son, so I needed to find a more steady situation.
Got it. So, what can I tell you about the museum?
Okay, Attila the Hun. What is that guy's problem?
Attila was considered the only genuine threat to the Roman Empire.
Known as the Scourge of God, Attila and his Huns would often tear off the limbs of their helpless victims. Attila was famous for his superstitious beliefs. He surrounded himself with a phalanx of sorcerers and magicians who advised and mystified him with their dark arts.
Larry closes a book on Attila the Hun and sets it down on top of a stack of other books in a library where he sits on the floor, leaning against some shelves. Later, he's researching the Easter Island heads on the internet. Now he studies stagecoaches of the Old West. Disposable coffee cups stand by his laptop as Larry types on the keyboard and researches Capuchin monkeys. Then it's on to Roman war strategies. Larry's attention is diverted for some moments by a photo of himself posing with his young son, who's in ice hockey gear. Larry's packing a sports bag with a sense of urgency. He stands by some bookshelves and remembers a lighter. He dons a jacket, checks his watch, then zips up his bag. Now uniformed, he's in the security guard's office.
Larry? Just wanted to say good luck, son.
And goodbye. We're clocking out for the last time.
If you're ever in Boca, look us up.
Whoa, wait, you guys are going out of town? What if this doesn't work out?
Smart fellow like you, you'll be fine.
Yeah, it would just be a phone call away. Come on, walk us out.
You fellas, go ahead. I need a moment.
She's very emotional. A lot of memories in this room.
Cecil leaves with Larry and Gus. Reginald lifts his bowed head to slyly watch them go. Now alone, he turns to a locker and opens it, reaches into a jacket pocket and removes a set of keys. He checks the coast is clear, then opens a small tin box and makes a clay impression of a key. The sun is setting. Inside a museum, Larry is busy. He steps up onto the T-Rex platform and stands beneath the dinosaur, then reaches up and breaks one of its rib bones off. Larry ties the bone with the string that's attached to a remote-controlled toy truck, then operates the remote from behind the information desk. The truck speeds across the floor, pulling the bone behind it as the T-Rex comes to life. The dinosaur bounds after it, swiping its tail through a lamp at the information desk as it goes.
Go crazy, big guy.
Larry places an elastic band around the remote to keep it switched on to the Neanderthal men.
Hey, guys. Quest for fire?
His lighter.
Over.
Knock yourselves out.
To the Easter Island head.
Morning, dum-dum.
Me no dum-dum, you dum-dum. You bring me gum-gum?
Yes, I did, fathead. Lots and lots of gum-gum.
A fist-sized ball of pink gum. Larry skids into the diorama room, opens his sports bag and dons a glove with a shoebox lid attached. Then using the lid as a shield, he slides close the door to the glass case containing the Mayan Indians before they can escape. He waves to the furious Mayans as their darts bounce off the glass door.
What's that? I can't hear you through the glass.
He shrugs.
Sorry.
In ancient Rome, Octavius' soldiers are using a battering ram to knock through a wall.
Hey! What's going on over here?
We expand or we die. Heave!
The Old West.
Heave! Oh, help me! Blow this in! Help the kingdom come!
Woo! Whoa, whoa, whoa! Hey, Jed! Stop that! All right? No, don't do that. You blow a hole in your mountain, all you're going to hit is a wall.
Step aside, Gigantor! We got us a railroad to build! We're blowing a hole in that thing!
Okay, first of all, enough with the Gigantor giant stuff, okay? I'm just trying to close up shop.
We're going
to
blow it anyway! And a three!
A tiny puff.
Yeah, poof. Wow. What are you doing?
What's it look like we're doing? It's manifest destiny. You can't fight it, neither can I. Go! More dynamite! Yeah, all use right. It all!
Okay. Woo! Listen, Octavius, you gotta stop that.
It's Octavius, Mary.
Hey! Okay, you know what? That's fine, it, great. Man. Here you go.
Hey, what happens? You cannot do this. I am a Roman general. I have rights.
You...
Hey! No!
Keep heaving,
put me men. Down! You I can't stop progress!
We'll talk, okay?
I told you I don't like to be manhandled!
No, I will manhandle you, Jedediah. Now listen, guys, what is your problem, huh? Why can't you just get along?
Look, we're men. We fight, okay? That's what we do.
Kind of how we pass the time.
You're like a giant, a freak, if you will. We can't expect you to understand that.
You guys got the whole room to run around in. You don't have to be near each other.
What, you mean...
You're gonna let us out? What, and just roam free?
Yeah, I might if you promise to behave. That means no fireballs, no explosions, okay?
You have my words, my liege.
Yeah, no problemo, Gigantor.
My name's Larry, first of all, okay? Jed? So I call you Jed, I don't call you Tiny, right?
What's that supposed to mean?
Hey, Teeny, how does that sound?
I don't like it. It hurts my feelings.
Okay, well, Gigantor makes me feel like some sort of freak, so I'm, you know...
I don't. I just call you Larry.
Don't be a kiss-ass, okay? Now look, I'm trusting you guys, all right? Now, if you don't do what I say, you can end up like your little buddies in the Mayan world over there, locked up. Take a look. Do they look happy?
No.
They look up at Larry.
They look sad.
Because they can't do what they want to do. Now I'm letting you guys have a little bit of leash here. Don't choke me with it, okay? I gotta run. You guys play nice, okay? Okay, good. Thanks.
The Easter Island head blows a bubble.
Hey, how's that gum treating you, dum-dum?
Good.
Larry goes to close the gates to the African Mammals Hall.
Oh, hey, Dexter. I'm just locking up. You want in?
The little monkey jumps up onto Larry's shoulders, goes through the gates and onto a branch.
All right.
Dexter appears to grin down at him.
Oh!
His key ring is empty.
What's that? You got my keys?
Dexter's got plastic keys.
I don't think so. Looks like Uncle Larry pulled a fast one on little Dexie. Says a baby keys for little baby. So have fun playing with your baby keys, little baby monkey. Maybe tomorrow night I'll bring you a little baby diaper so you can go poo-poo with it. Then I'll change it for you. And then I'll give you a little tickle because you're a cute little baby. Well, you cry all night long about how Uncle Larry fooled you, huh? I told you there was a storm coming.
Larry marches into the American History Hall where he finds Roosevelt.
Hey, Teddy.
Lawrence! You impertinent pup, I knew you'd come back. You look like a man on a mission.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it another shot.
Roosevelt stares at Sacagawea, wandering in her wilderness display case with Lewis and Clark. Larry follows his gaze.
You,
What?
You checking her out?
The nerve! Checking her out! Oh, I've never heard of such a thing.
No, I'm just, I mean, because, you know, she's very beautiful.
Beautiful? Oh.
Roosevelt watches her through binoculars.
Rather handsome woman, I suppose.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know, maybe you should go talk to her.
Indeed!
Yeah.
Bless you, lad!
All right. Good.
Carry on.
Good. See ya.
Larry marches out of the hall. Roosevelt, with a thick, bushy brown moustache and attired in a Rough Rider khaki cavalry uniform, looks at Sacagawea with a pained, intense expression, then approaches her tentatively. He touches his hat and smiles at her.
I...
Roosevelt clams up and darts off, Puzzled, Sacagawea watches him depart and sighs. The door to Larry's apartment is opened. In semi-darkness, someone enters and steps across to Larry's desk. A drawer is opened, and a clear plastic bag containing some gold artifacts is placed inside. The drawer is closed. The Museum of Natural History, with its dramatic classical arch, looks luminous in the dead of night. Larry finds Attila and his Huns sharpening their weapons and chewing up brochures at the information desk.
Hey, hi.
You got one!
It's okay. You guys speak English? No? Right, okay, I don't know what that means, and I know that you and I kind of got off on the wrong foot last night, but...
He drops his bag.
Little birdie told me that somebody likes...
Magic.
Magic?
Magic. Sorcery.
Ah, so.
Yes, illusion.
Everybody likes magic. And flowers. People like flowers. There you go. Those are for you. You know what else people like?
Money.
The almighty dollar, right? But money can sometimes disappear.
The coin in his hand vanishes.
At least that's what I hear.
He appears to take it from behind Attila's ear.
No wonder you can't understand me. You got a coin in your ear. Oh, check this out. Anybody need a hanky? Well, I wouldn't suggest this little feller because he has a nasty habit of vanishing.
Into thin air.
Attila spots a container.
Don't. That defeats the... Don't. Ah!
He grabs the tiny container from Larry's hand and hauls up the checked handkerchief. Larry makes a run for it and is grabbed by four hefty Huns. Attila indicates to the four Huns holding Larry's arms and legs to start pulling.
Not the limbs, guys! Please do not tear the limbs!
They all turn on hearing the bellowing elephant, drop Larry and run off. Larry looks up to see the African Hall inhabitants stampeding down the main stairway. Larry runs and meets Christopher Columbus.
Cortez, right?
The Easter Island head's bubble has burst. Larry returns to the Hall of African Mammals to find the gate unlocked, open, and the exhibit almost empty. Larry's keys are missing. Dexter sways and holds up the keys.
You don't even think about it, don't you?
Dexter!
Larry follows Dexter, slips, then chases after the monkey who runs on his hind legs. Larry stops when he sees a battle.
Guys!
Romans versus Old West in hand-to-hand combat. Dexter, meanwhile, jumps onto a window ledge and starts to unlock the metal gate covering the window. He sneaks a look behind, then opens the two gates. Dexter steps forward to the window and pushes it open. He heaves the sash window up to his full arm stretched height. The battle continues. Larry hopscotches his way through the battlefield to Jed and Octavius on a plinth.
Hey, guys! Ow! Sorry. What's going on? What happened here? I thought we had a deal.
We will never coexist with these buffoons!
We're past words, Laredo! Now it's time to let Smith and Wesson do the talking!
Those guns don't even work!
Oh, they don't! Take a look at this!
Jed hits the Roman with his gun. Larry spots Dexter.
Dexter!
Dexter scoots off, keys in hand. Larry gives chase. He stops, hunting a Neanderthal man with his hair on fire. Larry goes to a wall cupboard, removes a fire extinguisher, and turns it on the burning man. He sprays the man in the campfire with foam, quenching the flames. The man wipes foam from his hair. Another Neanderthal scoops some of the foam in his fingers and tastes it. He scoops a large handful and throws it at Larry. It hits Larry smack on the mouth.
Why?
Larry turns on hearing Dexter.
Ho! Dexter!
Dexter seeks refuge in the Old West diorama. Larry slides along the floor towards it.
End of the line, cool breeze. End of the line.
The foam-covered Neanderthal makes his way towards the window Dexter opened. He sees two men outside round a brazier and begins to jump up and down. He leaps out of the window.
I am not playing games here.
Larry is now on the Old West diorama.
Stand over.
The white foam is still around his mouth.
That's it, Dexter.
Nice and easy, Dex. That's it.
Ooh. Dexter slaps him. And again. Then a third time. Larry and the monkey then slap each other in turn. President Roosevelt watches the exchange.
Good Lord, Lawrence, why are you slapping a monkey?
Teddy, this guy's been pushing me, and I'm sick of it.
Poppycock.
This little creature is your primate brother. Without him, there's no us. Are you rabid? Wipe that off. You have to deal with this creature with love and respect. May I have the keys, dear friend?
Dexter hands them over.
Thank you. Lawrence?
Well, you know what? You seem to know what you're doing, Teddy, so I'm going to let you take over, all right?
What? No, no!
My dear boy, you can't put up the white flag now. The museum is on the verge of total anarchy.
Look, I tried. I came back tonight, didn't I?
You tried. That was one night. I didn't build the Panama Canal in one day.
Yeah, well, that's great, Teddy, but I'm dealing with the most ridiculous job in history.
Some men are born great, Lawrence.
Yeah, I know, Teddy. Others have greatness thrust upon them. You hit me with that chestnut last night. The thing is, not everyone is great. That's the problem. Some of us are just ordinary.
No, you're not, Lawrence. For the love of Gideon, stop wallowing in self-pity. Every great journey begins with a single footstep. If you could teach the inhabitants to get along, they wouldn't need to be locked up night after night.
Oh, well, that means a lot coming from a guy who spent the last 50 years spying on a girl he's never even talked to.
I was going to make contact. Lawrence, please.
I'm done, all right?
Larry walks away. The dinosaur steps up.
No, Gracie!
No!
The T-Rex skeleton lowers its head and slumps. Larry passes Columbus.
Ragazzo, cosa dici? Le chiudiamo le finestre?
The statue points towards the open window. Larry starts to walk towards it. As he gets closer, he breaks into a trot. Larry spots the Neanderthal stand by the brazier, then lope away. Larry sees the early morning rays of the sun.
Oh, no.
Larry drops his bag and hares through the now-still museum. He barges out of a door as the Neanderthal turns to see the sun glinting through the bare trees. Larry stares wide-eyed as the Neanderthal turns to dust. A road sweeper drives past, sucking up the dust. As Larry looks away, looks back across the street, sighs, then turns to re-enter the museum. He pushes his way through the revolving doors and stands, hands on hips. He sees the keys dangling in the hands of the Roosevelt exhibit. Larry strolls across to the mounted figure and gazes up at its face. He unhooks the keys from the index finger. Day. The imposing stone facade of the Natural History Museum. Nick and two of his friends enter.
No one comes here anymore. Besides, I took this tour in second grade, Daly. I'm telling you, my dad's gonna hook us up.
Mr. Daly!
Yeah?
McPhee points.
Phone. Yes, I know. In the Neanderthal display. I know. There was an incident last night with the fire extinguisher. I was literally just on my way to go clean it up. Okay, don't bother. You're fired.
Nick and his pals see all this.
I don't think we're getting a tour today. Dad just got canned, dude.
Excuse me. Mr. McPhee?
Nick walks away.
Excuse me, Mr. McPhee. Can I talk to you about this, please?
Sir?
What?
I know I screwed up, but I think I finally understand how to do this job.
You obviously don't. That's the point.
Well, no, I didn't, but now I do. Really, Mr. McPhee, if you just give me one...
Doctor.
Dr. McPhee, just... Can you please give me one more night?
The two men face each other.
One more night.
Okay, thank you.
And if anything, is that tiniest... After your shift. Because...
Both men shake their heads.
Got it.
Okay?
Okay.
Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice.
McPhee nods expectantly. Larry frowns.
Shame on me.
Huh?
Fool me. Shame on me.
You.
Fool me, Bryce.
There.
Got it.
Take it or leave it.
Okay. Thank you.
McPhee enters his office. Erica opens her front door to Larry.
Hey.
Hey.
What's wrong?
Maybe you should ask Nikki.
Their son sitting on a window seat in his bedroom.
Hey, buddy. What's going on?
You got fired.
What are you talking about? I didn't get fired.
I came to the museum this morning. I saw your boss yelling at you.
Why didn't you tell me? No, everything's fine. We just had a little misunderstanding.
Why?
It's hard to explain. You wouldn't believe... You know what? Let me show you.
Show me what?
Come to work with me tonight.
Larry, can I talk to you for a second?
She leads Larry out into the hallway.
Am I in trouble?
Larry, what are you doing?
Just want to show him what I do, that's all.
I love that. I love that you want to share that with him. But I got to tell you, I don't think Nicky has any room in his heart for more disappointment.
You won't be disappointed.
Larry.
You won't be disappointed.
Early evening. Snow falls as Larry leads Nick up the steps to the museum.
Listen, you're gonna hang out in the security office till everyone's gone, then I'm gonna come get you, all right?
Okay.
Inside the museum, Larry's on his rounds. He looks at his watch. At the far end of the hall, he spots someone in front of the Sacagawea exhibit. He strolls up and shines his torch.
Hey! Miss, I'm going to have to ask you to vacate the premises.
Hey there.
Hey.
Good place to think, huh?
Yeah, definitely. So, no big plans tonight, or...?
Yeah, no, I'm not really a big plan person. I prefer hanging out with people who are dead for 200 years. It's the live ones that throw me.
That's cool. Seriously, though, you do have to leave.
Seriously?
Yeah, sorry, it's just museum rules, and we're sort of locking everything up.
I'm really taking your job. Seriously, you know, okay?
Well, you know, once I clip on the tie, I'm all business.
I get it.
Yeah. How's that dissertation coming?
Oh, I've hit a dead end. I mean, research can only get me so far. I'm never going to know who she really was. So, I think it's time that I move on to another subject. I'll let you get back to work.
Okay.
Good night, Larry.
Yeah. Okay.
He watches Rebecca go.
Night.
Larry gazes at the model Sacagawea with her long braided hair, then about turns.
Hey! Rebecca!
Larry catches up with her.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hey.
Hey, listen, I don't think you should give up on your paper.
Okay, why?
All right, look, this is going to sound crazy, all right? I mean, it's going to sound like really, really crazy.
Okay.
Right? No, I mean like insanely crazy.
I can handle it.
Okay. You know how they say in certain museums, history comes alive? And
yeah.
In this museum, it actually does.
What are you talking about?
Larry glances over her shoulder. She turns her head.
Everything in this museum comes to life at night.
Her eyes flit away from him, then back.
Really?
Yeah, really. I'm not kidding you. You know that tablet, the tablet of Akhenra?
Mm-hmm.
It actually brings things to life. It's like some ancient spell. Since the 50s, when it came here, every night, everything's been coming to life. I know this because Teddy Roosevelt told me. Seriously. I mean, the monkey, Dexter, right? The cute little, what is he? Like a
capuchin.
A capuchin, right. The capuchin, he urinated on me and bit my nose. And Sacagawea is in her case, alive, every night, just listening to Lewis and Clark argue. So if you really want to get inside her head, I can hook that up.
Rebecca sports a Richter grin.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. It's freaking awesome.
Rebecca stares at Larry.
Make fun of the history geek.
No.
Rebecca!
Good night, Larry.
No, I'm not making fun of you. Rebecca!
She walks out of the revolving door and down the steps. A flurry of snow is falling. Inside, Larry sits Nick on the desk.
Here you go. Best seat in the house.
What's going on?
If I told you, you'd think I'm crazy, so I'm just going to show you.
What?
You'll see in about 20 seconds. Okay, you like Tyrannosaurus Rex?
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, I call him Rexy. And he's about to come to life, Nicholas, in...
Larry checks his watch.
5, 4, 3, 2...
Larry does a theatrical flourish towards the dinosaur, but nothing happens. Behind Nick, a globe spins.
Dad?
Hang on a sec. Say hello to Rexy!
Dad, are you okay?
This is weird. Guys, come on! Sundown!
Larry runs over to Teddy Roosevelt.
Hey, DR, come on, rise and shine, buddy. I need you to wake up.
Come on, my kid is here. I need you to wake up. Texas, come on! Get on, Texas! Woo! Get on, Texas! Get up!
Just stop, okay?
No, Nikki, I'm telling you, there's this tablet, okay? It's called the Tablet of Achman Ra, and every night at sundown it brings...
Tell there's a tablet?
Yeah, there is.
Come on, Dad.
Come on. Larry leads Nick into the dark Egyptian hall. Larry switches on his torch.
It's gone.
What's gone?
The tablet. I think somebody stole it.
Yeah, right.
I'm not kidding, Nikki.
Larry paces. He turns to find Nick has disappeared.
Nikki? Hey, Nikki!
Nick's on the stairs.
Hey, Nikki. Where are you going, huh?
Hold.
Wait a minute.
They look out of a window and see shadows cast on the building opposite from the museum's loading dock. They go down to it. A cart has been filled with ancient treasures. The tablet is on top. Cecil, Reginald, and Gus appear.
You guys shouldn't be here.
Give us the tablet, son.
Wait a minute, Nikki. What are you guys doing?
We're not going to hurt you. Give us the tablet.
I'm sorry to tell you this, son, but your dad doesn't work here anymore. Got fired this morning. Couldn't hack it.
Dad, I thought you said you weren't fired.
I did, Nikki. They're lying. They're trying to steal that thing. Just turn the middle piece. You'll see what I was talking about.
That is museum property, son. Now give it back.
Nikki, trust me. Just turn it.
Give us the tablet.
Nikki. Trust me.
Nick, the tablet in his hand, lowers his head. He moves the central piece of the nine square segment on the tablet. Light emanates from it and the whole artifact glows. Nick stares in amazement. Larry turns to the three guys. They become agitated and step towards Larry.
Nick, run now.
Get back here, kid!
Larry grabs Gus, but Cecil flips Larry onto the floor.
Bad idea, Larry.
You want to dance, hot dog? You want to dance?
Now, Gus, you're an old man. I don't want to hurt you.
Ooh! Oh! Ah!
You see, Larry, a few years into the job, the three of us realized that, like everything else in this museum, we got new life at night. Sundown to sunrise, we felt young again.
He kicks Larry.
Okay, did not see that coming.
Gave us an energy boost.
We love the nightlife, Larry.
So, when we found out they were going to fire us, we had to steal the tablet.
Everyone knows you need the money.
Add to that the stuff we planted in your place. Pretty obvious you committed the crime. Take care of that cut. Come on, guys, let's go find that kid.
Sweet dreams, Cupcake!
No!
High on rider! Come on, let's get our tablet.
The three old guys sprint like young things up the staircase in pursuit of Nick, who's still clutching the tablet. Nick runs along a corridor and goes through a doorway just as Dexter opens the loading dock door. The mammoth and the other animals race out. Nick runs into Cecil.
Thank you very much. We'll take it from here.
Nicky!
Cecil flips Larry.
Just in time, Larry. We were just locking up.
Sleep tight, Hotshot.
Let's grab everything we can fence. I don't know about you, but I'm planning on a long retirement.
Outside in the snow are the mammoth, huskies, and Eskimos on a sled. Nick and Larry are locked in the Egyptian hall.
Teddy! Teddy, if you're out there, I need you, pal!
Roosevelt rides up.
Someone call my name.
Whoa.
Theodore Roosevelt, at your service.
Teddy, can you get us out of here?
Can't do it, man. This is your moment.
Will you save the lectures, please? I'm not you, okay? I didn't build the Panama Canal. I wasn't president of the United States. I need some help. Come on.
Actually,
Roosevelt removes his spectacles.
I never did any of those things. Teddy Roosevelt did. I was made in a mannequin factory in Poughkeepsie. I never shot a wild beast. I'm not even brave enough to tell that beautiful woman I love her. But you... you gotta finish the job this time. You can't quit.
Larry stares at Roosevelt.
I'm made of wax, Larry. What are you made of?
Nick turns to look at his father as Roosevelt rides off.
Whoa, 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 wait a minute! That's all you got for me?
That's it!
Larry turns around to see the two gigantic Anubis statues swinging spears move threateningly towards Nick and himself. In the distance, Akhmen-Ra's sarcophagus is shaking.
That's it. Come on.
They duck the spears. Nick stands behind an exhibit and watches as his father pushes the stone slab covering the sarcophagus. He undoes bolts and lifts the lid. The giant statues lumber towards Larry as the bandaged Akhmen-Ra sits up.
Hey, hi, how you doing? Sorry to bother you, but your guys there, your jackal guys, do you think you could actually ask them to back off, please? Because we're not trying to hurt you, and I think they think we are. Do you think you could possibly do it, like, now?
The statues kneel.
Thank you.
The Akhmen-Ra mummy turns to face Larry, who steps back as it rises.
Dad.
The mummy unwraps its bandages. Nick clings to his father. Under the bandages, a teenager's face.
You would not believe how stuffy it is in there.
How can you speak English?
I went to Cambridge University.
You went to Cambridge?
I was on display in the Egyptology department.
I am Akhmen-Ra, fourth king of the fourth king, ruler of the land of my fathers.
I am Larry, son of Milton, and this is my son, Nick, and we hail from Brooklyn. Well, I do. I mean, he comes out and stays with me on Wednesdays and every other weekend. That was the custody agreement that we had.
Larry, Nick, guardians of Brooklyn, I am forever in your debt. Now, bestow the tablet upon me so that I may assume command of my kingdom.
Oh, yes, okay, the tablet. I would love to bestow it upon you, but we don't actually have it.
Akhmen-Ra glares. The stone slab is hurled through the locked gates. The Pharaoh, Nick, and Larry run out.
Thanks, guys. Don't worry, I'll watch out for him. Thank you.
He bows to the two Anubis statues, then joins Akhmen-Ra and Nick. They look down at a scene of chaos in the atrium. The museum inhabitants, both human and animal, are fighting and creating havoc. Akhmen-Ra looks across the atrium.
What is that?
Huns. I gotta deal with this guy.
Attila and his Huns, and Larry, followed by Nick and Akhmen-Ra, charge along the landing around the atrium and end up face to face. Attila looks puzzled.
Look, Bono.
Akhmen-Ra steps forward.
Pardon me, Larry. I speak Han. Igugu, bagayaka miku.
Tomara sunda kana. Uikunza sakano.
He says that he wants to rip you apart.
All right, again with the ripping. Listen, I understand. I get it. Ripping for you, you want to rip things, okay? And I think maybe that's because somebody ripped you a long time ago.
in here.
His chest.
Somebody ripped little baby Attila a long time ago right here. They ripped something out, didn't they? They ripped love. They ripped love right out of you, didn't they? Little baby, all alone in a tent, whose daddy went off to pillage some town or go and plunder somewhere, just doing his job, but who was left alone?
Attila's eyes are fixed on Larry.
You.
The big Hun weeps. Larry hugs him.
Let it go. Malamokoma ka fukuti.
They're still wrapped in a hug.
It's okay. It's okay.
Larry points at a watching Hun.
You're next.
Larry and Attila break apart.
Good. That's good. Just breathe. Just. Yes. Yeah.
Larry Daly.
Yeah.
Aroko. Daya.
Daya. Good. Okay. Yes.
Hey. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Good. Good.
Larry goes to the balustrade.
All right. I need everybody to listen up.
Nobody hears him.
Guys, come on.
Roosevelt watches from across the landing. The humans and animals react to the Easter Island head's voice. Even T-Rex stops moving.
My dum-dum went to speak.
Thank you. Now this here's King Akhmenra. His tablet is what brings you to life every night. And those old night watchmen, they stole it. Now we need to find those guards and get the tablet back, and we need to do it before morning. Civil War, guys! Head over to the planetarium wing.
To Christopher Columbus.
My explorer friend whose name escapes me?
It's Columbus.
Right, Columbus! Right, I'm sorry, there's no nameplate. So, Columbus, take the Neanderthals and do a sweep from invertebrates all the way through reptiles. Jed and Octavius, their van's parked out back. Go take care of it.
Whoa, 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 no! No, sir, I ain't working with Toga Boy.
Romans work alone.
Ow! That didn't hurt. Don't be a baby.
Yes, it did.
Come on. Ah, that was much harder.
Guys, come on. Jed, Octavius, take away the fact you were born 2,000 years apart. You guys aren't that different. You're both great leaders. You just want what's best for your people, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Civil War dudes. You guys are brothers, for God's sakes. You gotta stop fighting. North wins. Slavery's bad. Sorry. Don't want to burst your bubble. But South, you guys get Allman Brothers and NASCAR. So just chill. Look, without that tablet, all of this whole coming to life at night thing, it all goes away. Now, I don't want to let that happen, but I need your help. We can get this done, but we got to do it together. So who's with me?
Yeah.
Who's with me?
Yeah!
All right! Then let's do this, people!
Nick smiles at his dad.
And animals? And weird, faceless, puppet creatures? Come on, let's go! Let's do it!
The old guard's van is parked in the snow in front of the loading dock. Nearby is a snowplow. Octavius pokes his tiny head round the edge of it and is joined by Jed. They stand on a ledge a few yards away from the van. Jed turns his head.
Come on, follow me, boys! Geronimo!
Jed, Octavius, and others jump to the ground. Inside, Gus, carrying loot, is confronted by the Civil War contingent. He about turns as another squad lines up, rifles raised. Outside, the hat of Jed the Cowboy and the helmet of Octavius the Roman peek out from under the snow as the two men rise. Inside, Columbus is with the Neanderthals.
Come here.
Reginald.
Now, boys, we can do this the easy way or the hard way.
He wields his walking stick. Columbus draws a sword, which he holds to Reginald's throat.
I guess it's gonna be the hard way.
È tutto finito.
Right, Ben. We're almost there.
Jed, Octavius, and a few others stand by the wheels of the van. Octavius raises his spear. He plunges it into the tire valve. They all hold onto the spear as the air gushes out. Two of the Romans are blown away. Then a cowboy, leaving only Jed and Octavius.
Save yourself! I ain't quitting you!
Cecil still has the tablet.
Gus!
He trots into the ocean life hall.
Reginald! Fellas, where are you? Guys!
He opens a door and finds an upside-down whale. The whale blasts water from its blowhole. Larry sees Gus and Reginald are prisoners.
That's what I'm talking about. Good job, gentlemen. Loving the teamwork.
Outside, Cecil clambers into the van. The van lurches forward despite its flat tire. Larry leads Nick and Achmenra into the loading dock. The rear door is open to the elements.
They've vanished.
How will we find them?
I know someone who can help. Come on.
A cannonball.
Watch out!
Sacagawea turns her back as Larry hurls the cannonball at her glass case.
Hey, Sacagawea, or Wea. Listen, I need a favor. Somebody stole his tablet. You think you can track the guys who took it?
He went east, but he lost control and crashed.
You're amazing. How can you tell that?
She points. The van is a few yards away.
He left the wagon and went back.
He went back? Why would he go back?
Cecil's driving a stagecoach.
Get out of the way!
The stagecoach heads for Sacagawea. Roosevelt pushes her out of its path. Sacagawea crawls over to Roosevelt.
You saved me.
You're worth saving, my dear.
He's cut in half.
Oh, that's problematic.
Teddy! Oh, man.
Larry, relax. I'm Wax. Listen, you've got to do something. Dawn's approaching, and half the museum's running amok outside.
He's got my tablet.
The model truck with a bone attached. They stop in front of Larry.
At your service, Gigantor!
How can we be of assistance, my liege?
Just give me a second, guys.
They watch him intently. Larry looks up.
Rexy. Here, boy. Teddy, I need a horse.
Do it, man.
Cecil drives the stagecoach through Central Park. Larry's behind him on Roosevelt's horse. On a parallel path, the truck towing the bone is chased by the skeleton T-Rex, with Nick and Achmenra riding it.
Woo! Woo! Oh, boy! Let me hear you yell!
Yeah!
Just living the dream, baby! I'm loving this!
Cecil spots the dinosaur.
Pull the stagecoach over now! Wow! Ah! Can I make this turn up here? I'll take that as a yes! Hang on!
Jed turns the truck into the path of the stagecoach and goes right under it.
I can't hold her!
They head for a pile of snow, race up it, and take off before landing in a puff of smoke. Larry reins the horse in beside the heap of snow, then sees the stagecoach making its escape.
Come on, Tex, let's finish this.
Yeah! Yeah! Come on!
Larry draws level.
Give me the tablet, Cecil!
Can't do it, son!
Pull over!
It ain't gonna happen. Moving on.
Last chance, Cecil! Stop the horses or I will!
They can't be stopped, Larry. Don't you know your history? These are money carriers. They were trained not to stop for anything but a secret word.
Really? You mean a word like...
Cecil stares.
Dakota!
Cecil is catapulted into the snow.
Come on, Tex!
Larry grabs the tablet.
I read up on my history. Thanks for the tip. Oh, and by the way, don't ever talk to me like that in front of my son.
Moving on.
Larry hustles Cecil over to the Huns, who are with Nick and Achmen Ra. Oh.
Hey, Hans.
Tell Attila to have his boys take him back to the museum, put him with the rest of the guards, okay?
Gigubazaza, Seso Kaluku.
Oh, and no limericking, okay?
Jabakluka, Gila
Olyami. No. Mikaka?
Cecil squints at Larry, then raises his eyebrows.
Makikaka.
Igobogo! Lingao! Go! Makikaka, lao!
Hey, boy, wait, hold the phone. What does makikaka mean? Wait, translation, please.
Roosevelt.
The year was 1909. I was going up the Zambezi River in Africa. Now, River Guy was a brilliant pygmy who spoke only by clicking.
Using two rocks, she makes a fire beside him. Using the flame to melt the wax, she joins Roosevelt together.
Oh, boy.
What is it?
I gotta get you guys back to the museum.
How?
Holding the tablet, Larry faces Achmen Ra.
Achmen Ra, I'm gonna need your help. This is your tablet. You know the instructions. I need you to get everyone back.
Ta Siker Heser Ta Nu Ta Taten Achmen Rahu.
The tablet of gold gleams. Symbols appear in every square. T-Rex turns and starts retracing his steps. The other animals and Attila do likewise. Larry takes out his cell phone.
Come on. There's somebody who's got to see this.
A taxi by the park gates.
What I'm saying is, for the type of money that they pay A-Rod, he ought to be bringing home a World Series trophy every season. You know what I mean?
The taxi driver watches the return of the animals. Rebecca's in the back of his cab. She stares wide-eyed. The animals keep crossing the road. Rebecca places her hand over her mouth.
Now who are they gonna get to clean up all that doo?
Inuit?
Yeah.
One terracotta soldier. Vikings.
Right.
Alpaca.
Welcome back, ladies.
Llama.
Hey, Viking. Guys, do me a favor. Your fellows made some sort of funeral pyre type thing in petrified wood. Go clean that up, okay? Thank you.
He's back.
Right, I'll deal with this joker. Hey, Moose! It's not gonna happen, buddy, all right? I told you 3 times, you can't come through this door with those antlers. So you and your caribou buddy, you all gotta go around to the loading dock.
Lawrence!
Hey, Teddy! Great to see you in one piece.
Hello, Sacagawea, a little hot wax, and I'm a new man.
Larry?
Larry turns to see Rebecca. She smiles at him as he walks towards her.
I told you I wasn't making fun of you.
I know. Teddy?
Rebecca spots Sacagawea.
Oh, my God.
You want to meet her?
Rebecca nods her head.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Excuse me? President Roosevelt, this is my friend Rebecca.
And Anna.
Hi.
And this is Sacagawea.
Wea.
I think she has a few questions she wants to ask you.
You rock. I am a big fan.
What would you like to know?
The two women wander off. Animals and humans trudge up the stairs. They resume their places.
One Buddha.
Namaste.
Check. Two zebras.
Nice. Check.
Dexter! Welcome back.
Hey, Dex. So, look, no hard feelings, all right?
Lawrence! You saw what he did just
then. Who's involved? I am.
Who's involved?
I am.
Dexter sticks his tongue out.
Good. Well, they're all here. Well done. Everyone's in.
Yeah, well, not everyone. We lost a couple of good little men out there tonight.
With great victory comes great sacrifice.
Yeah.
Larry and Roosevelt turn away.
Dad, look.
Jed and Octavius climb up the stone steps.
Hey!
They help each other to their feet, and both grubby stare up at Larry and Roosevelt. Like returning heroes, the two men swagger towards the full-sized men.
You ain't getting rid of us that easy.
Octavius clasped his arm with its clenched fist across his chest. Larry and Roosevelt do likewise. Jed salutes them, and they return it. The sun begins to rise over the city. Roosevelt kisses Sacagawea's hand, then faces Larry.
Until tomorrow evening, Lawrence.
Yeah, I don't know about that, Teddy. It's going to be tough to talk my way out of this one.
Well, if that's indeed the case, then it's farewell, my friend. Nick?
The boy looks up.
Your father's a great man.
I know.
Larry turns to his son, who smiles at him. He returns the smile.
I told you.
Larry. Good night.
No, Lawrence. Good day.
The atrium is a shambles.
Hey, Teddy.
Roosevelt's already a wax mannequin. Larry takes a look around the place. His gaze returns to Roosevelt.
Thanks.
As the sun streams in through high windows, the gigantic globe in the center of the desk spins. Larry joins Nick and Rebecca in tidying the place up. A TV news bulletin.
You're watching New York One News all morning.
Thanks for joining us this morning. There is a fresh blanket of snow on the ground today, but it's not the snow that's got New Yorkers talking. It's what's in the snow. There are dinosaur tracks along West 81st Street. Here's the remarkable video. These appear to be Tyrannosaurus Rex tracks, and they lead straight to the Museum of Natural History.
Authorities have found what appear to be cave drawings in the subway.
Neanderthals atop the museum roof. Elaborate hoax or publicity stunt, you be the judge. But one thing's for sure, the folks at the Natural History Museum have really outdone them.
Larry's with McPhee watching the bulletin.
Any explanation at all?
Larry purses his lips and shrugs his shoulders.
No, got nothing.
Good.
I'll take your keys and your flashlight.
Larry reluctantly places them in McPhee's outstretched hands. McPhee escorts Larry to the office door. As they march into the main part of the museum, McPhee is surprised to find the place packed. Visitors, young and old, throng the atrium with its spinning globe and Roosevelt. McPhee holds out the torch to Larry and nods his head. Larry takes back the torch and the keys. McPhee nods again and half smiles. Larry looks across to the information desk where Rebecca is standing. She grins broadly at him and spreads out her hands. Nick stands in front of his class.
My name is Nick Daly. My career day parent is my dad. He's a night watchman at the Museum of Natural History.
Larry, in uniform, steps forward and places his hands on Nick's shoulders.
Hey, how's it going? Well, Nicky said it. I'm the night watchman at the Museum of Natural History. Let me tell you something. That's when history comes alive. How many of you guys been over to the museum?
Yeah. Hands shoot up. Torch swinging Larry's on a tour of duty. There's a disco in the atrium. Attila and Christopher Columbus are playing football on the same side. Columbus and Attila hug as the Italian scores. Roosevelt rides by with Sacagawea behind him on the horse. He salutes Larry, who raises a fist in acknowledgement. The Civil War unit exchange rifles. A Neanderthal swallows fire extinguisher foam. Dexter dances on a chair, and Achmenra boogies the night away. More Neanderthals watch a small fire burning. A model car tows a bone, T-Rex chasing it and Nick on his back.
Hey! Getting late, you ready to go home?
Nope.
Jed and Octavius are in the car.
Let's ride.
The car shoots off with T-Rex and Nick in hot pursuit. The disco lights flash and are visible from the outside. Larry holsters his torch.
Tonight is the right night, everybody's all right, yo. Feel it in my bones, we gon' make it out of sight. So if you're ready, go party till the daylight.
Unit Production Manager Anne Simonette. Unit Production Manager Thomas M. Hamill. Unit Production Manager Ira Schumann. First Assistant Director Marty Ellie Schwartz. First Assistant Director Josh McGladlin. Second Assistant Director Misha Bukowski. The ex-guards are mopping up.
It was nice of Larry not to rat us out, but this is ridiculous.
We're night watchmen, not janitors.
Gentlemen, you're doing a terrific job. I want to catch a few Z's.
You ain't going nowhere. Start mopping, hot dog.
Gus adopts the supervisor role. Cast: Larry Daly, Ben Stiller, Rebecca, Carla Gugino, Cecil, Dick Van Dyke, Gus, Nicky Rooney, Reginald, Bill Cobbs, Nick Daly, Jake Cherry, Dr. McPhee, Ricky Gervais, Teddy Roosevelt, Robin Williams. Erica Daly, Kim Raver, Attila the Hun, Patrick Gallagher, Akmenra, Rami Malek, Christopher Columbus, Fier Francesca Favino, Taxi Driver, Charlie Murphy, Octavius, Steve Coogan, Sacagawea, Mitsu Peck. The three old guys rave with their mops. Neanderthal 1, Kerry Vandergreen, Neanderthal 2, Dan Rizzuto, Neanderthal 3, Matthew Harrison, Neanderthal 4, Jody Rakicott, Dom, Paul Rudd, Debbie, and Mira, Lewis, Martin Christopher, Clark, Martin Sims. Hun 1, Randy Lee, Hun 2, Dao Kwon, Hun 3, Gerald Wong, Hun 4, Paul Chi-Ping Cheng, Teacher Mike, Tegel F. Bougere, TV News Anchor, Pat Kiernan, Friend 1, Nico McCohen, Friend 2, Misash Peters, Politician Matthew Walker, Irish worker Jason McKinnon, Chinese rail worker Jonathan Lee, Vikings, Jason Vasvilla, Cade Varger, Chinese terracotta soldier Corey Martin, Dexter, Crystal the Monkey. Soundtrack available on Varese Saraband. Songs: Eye of the Tiger, written by James Peterick and Frank M. Sullivan III. Dem Bones, traditional. Tequila, written by Chuck Rio, performed by the Champs. Mandy, written by Richard Kerr and Scott English, performed and produced by Lee Town. Camptown Races, written by Stephen Foster. She'll Be Coming Round the Mountain, traditional. Weapon of Choice, written by Ashley William Slater, Sylvester Stewart, William Earl Collins, Norman Cook, William R. McLean, and Andreas Titus, performed by Fatboy Slim, featuring Bootsy Collins. September, written by Morris White, Al McKay, and Ali Willis, performed by Earth, Wind & Fire. Tonight, written by Damien Beckett, Ali D. Theodore, Zach Danziger, Julian Davis, Alana De Fonseca, and Dave Kelly, performed by Kiki Palmer featuring Sham. Friday Night, performed by McFly, written by Tom Fletcher, Danny Jones, Doogie Pointer, Jason Perry, Julian Emery, and Daniel Carter. Copyright 2006, 20th Century Fox Film Corporation in all territories except Brazil, Italy, Korea, Japan, and Spain. Copyright 2006, TCF Hungry Film Rights Exploitation Limited Liability Company and 20th Century Fox Film Corporation in Brazil, Italy, Korea, Japan and Spain. Ingenious Film Partners 2 LLP and Night Service Inc. are the author of this motion picture for purposes of copyright and other laws. The events, characters and firms depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, or to actual events or firms is purely coincidental. Ownership of this motion picture is protected by copyright and other applicable laws, and any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture could result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability.